Welcome, Marianne, to Writer Series.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you very much for having me. Looking forward to unpacking all things writing with you.
Today we'll be celebrating the few roles that you play in your life. One has to do with you have a long tenure in the healthcare industry. Could you share with us how you were introduced to your healthcare industry career before you transferred to becoming a transformational coach?
Well, I am now 50. I'm at the halfway mark. I have been a registered nurse for, gosh, about 28, I think it's 28 years now. And it was really not necessarily, I guess, a calling back then. It was more I think mum just said, you'd make a really good nurse. And I think it was just that was really my initiation into going, I guess that's what I'm doing. And it's been a extraordinarily rewarding career. And as you can imagine, you get to see humanity very up close and personal. And to be in the role as a nurse has been profoundly beautiful, challenging, as I'm sure you're all aware with COVID. But palliative care has probably emerged as one of the spaces that I have really enjoyed and found a lot of human connection with, and just seeing again, humanity in, I guess, its vulnerability. And to be the nurse in that situation has, it never lost on me just the importance of that role, and just what influence you can have in a situation and obviously make that a good influence. So that's been the joy of being in this profession. But I'd also always had a very keen interest in psychology, and I went on to do my graduate diploma in counseling, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And then as time went on, I had children and realized, gosh, you go to counseling, you have to sort of tell your story almost every week and might be a little bit challenged when you come home. But you've got children to look after. And I thought, oh, I wonder if there's something else out there. And that's when I stumbled across coaching, and I fell in love with it straight away and what the power that it had. So it's been in my world for about 8 years. Coaching and running workshops, which I love, and retreats, and more recently moved into writing, which is what we're connecting with you today.
How were you initially introduced to the craft of writing?
It's been an extension from the coaching, and it's emerged the book that I'm writing at the moment is based around my mother's journey with grade 4 brain cancer. Knowing that it was a journey and a story that could really assist other people going through a similar journey, people being diagnosed with terminal illness, but also the relationship, family relationships is a big centerpiece of this book. Obviously, with my nursing background, it brings in sort of the element of myself being the daughter, but also from that nursing perspective as well. I just knew it was going to be an important piece to write. Someone had asked me, a mentor of mine had asked me, what was your mother's gift to you? And my response immediately was, the gift has been given I guess the responsibility to write her book. So it's really her book, and probably placed in something that I know she would want shared about her life.
Touching upon human connection that you mentioned earlier, how have you been able to infuse the book with? Is it through the usage of words? Is it through anecdotes? How do you connect with readers?
Yeah, great question, Sasha. So it's very much on those stories that occurred along the whole journey, with human connection. And I guess it kind of really started with perhaps in the early days, as I'm sure a lot of us can connect with, is feeling perhaps disconnected at various times along the relationship with mum, as I'm sure she did feel with me at times, and certainly with our family history. There was a bit of trauma there, and that did impede our connection. And The story that is the focus is mum from the time of mum's diagnosis until passing is, even though there was lots and lots of mending that had done prior to her diagnosis, there's such a beautiful tapestry of events that occurred over that time that just really helped to really solidify the healing on both sides. And if I can share with you one story.
Oh, sure, please.
Yep, just to kind of illustrate, when I was younger, I developed migraines, and I guess from the book is very much based around the sort of the human connection, but also the spiritual elements that go in with death and dying, and there's part of me that's felt that the migraines over the years was partly in a way to perhaps get my mum's attention. And that's certainly shown up in a lot of psychology that there are those physical elements that we do to try and get a parent's attention. And I can remember as a young person when I'd have a migraine, mum would get the cold cloth and put it on my forehead. And I remember just thinking, oh, she's actually in the room with me. She's here. And it was such a poignant thing for me in those early migraine days. And when mum was becoming quite unwell with the cancer, sort of in those last couple of weeks, I remember she was starting to burn up and getting quite feverish. And by this stage, she was in the hospital bed at home. I was very grateful that we were all able to nurse mum at her home. And I remember, oh, you know, she has all the palliative care medications. We were giving her all the subcutaneous medications, but she was still really uncomfortable. And I was like, oh, I'll go and get her a cold cough. And I put it on her forehead, and it was the most soothing thing that I could have done. And she really calmed down. And it was like such one of those real full circle moments. And it's probably one of my most treasured items that I actually have of mum's. It was like all that time I was wanting you to be with me, and now I get this opportunity to be with you wholeheartedly, and I'm here for you. I am not going anywhere. I am with you. And for me, as her daughter, to be able to give this experience to her, it's something that would just normally choke me up. And I have that same cloth sitting on my dresser in our room, and it's one of my precious thing that I have and part of the memory of that. So it was human connection. It's about full circle moments. It's about really sort of stepping up to the plate and being there for another human being. And a lot of it has also been around forgiveness as well. And again, there's just some more beautiful moments where I was just able to be there with mum in those moments. And certainly conversely, she was in her moments, she was absolutely there for me also.
Because of the work I do, I also have covered some topics which have to do with self-development and forgiveness. Because you brought it up, in your interpretation, how do you define forgiveness?
There's a beautiful saying. I haven't got it in front of me. It's by Dr. Wayne Dyer, as I'm sure that you would be aware of.
Yes.
And it was by Mark Twain, and it was, forgiveness is the scent of the flower from on the heel that crushed it. Something along those lines. It's what remains as the thing that comes from a difficult situation, something that's, I guess, perhaps feels unforgivable. But to be able to genuinely and authentically reach a place of forgiveness has probably been one of the most powerful, if you could call it a tool, but probably one of the most powerful things that I've ever done in my life, when it's been done in an authentic way. To me, it means being able to not condone what's happened, but have an awareness of in being human, we're going to have some things happen to us. We're going to have some things come at us that aren't great, but our choice is, what are we going to learn from it? What are we going to take away from it? Why did this turn up in my life for? How can I use this? And to me, then it's having a bit of a gratitude that, in terms of being part of the human race and the human experience, that I have been, in a sense, gifted for the trauma that I have had, and that I've chosen to see it as something that's, I can use in a way. And whether that's just that I has helped me gravitate towards nursing, helped me gravitate towards coaching, and the helping profession. Whether it's by the act of actually forgiveness for the particular key people that had caused trauma in my life, that being able to do that for them may have unlocked something in them that I perhaps I'll never be aware of. And that to me is just being part of human and evolving throughout, our human experience.
Thank you for sharing. As you continue writing your mom's story, are there moments where you feel you need to take a break because you're reliving parts of your life?
Yeah, 100% correct. It did take me a little while to start sitting down and actually putting the story together. And it was sort of like almost putting myself back into the challenges of those times and reliving things. And so it was unsettling there for a while. You're absolutely right. But I came away, I find I get momentum when I come from a place of knowing what this story has the potential to assist other people going through the same thing. And being able to perhaps view death and dying, palliative care, sudden trauma, to be able to give them perhaps a different frame of reference. Ah, okay. So this is how somebody's done it. I didn't even think that that was possible. Okay. How did they do it? What did they focus on? So that to me, and knowing that that would be something Mum would be happy to share about her life, and she would be absolutely enamored to think that someone might benefit from what her journey was. That to me has, as I've gravitated to wanting that to be an outcome, has helped me to sit with it and be able to process it. And Sasha, there were so many, part of this whole journey was an absolutely ridiculous humor that Mum had, that there are so many moments that by all accounts should have been really difficult, by any stretch of having to go to the cemetery and pick Mum's plot with her. And, she just made it the most, me, I was an absolute wreck. I was very upset, and she just made a comment at the end of it that just made me burst out laughing. So I can never go to that memory and be completely sad and overwhelmed by it, because she buffered so many times with a funny comment that just broke the momentum of it all. And that was a real centerpiece.
Well, it's wonderful to learn that your mom is humanized in the story. And I've always found it amazing how people go through these transformational emotional experiences. Either it will harden the soul, or people learn how to have a laugh at themselves.
And it was like in the moment of diagnosis, the moment that we discovered that there was a massive growth in the right frontal cortex in her brain. It's almost, Sasha, it's almost a tangible memory of Mum just looking at me for like a split second in fear as the doctor was letting her know what they'd found. And then she just turned around in the next split second to the doctor and said, "Okay, I'm going to take all that you've got and I'm going to give it my best shot. But if it's my time, it's my time." And I've always wondered what God looked like. And I think the doctor was just totally, who responds like that? And it was just this moment of the shattering, I guess. It felt like the cocoon of the ego, all the things that we do to protect ourselves over our lifespan so we don't get hurt, that we're a little bit immune from pain and suffering and all the stories that we build up over the years. It was like, Sasha, it just got shattered in that moment. And what I got to see emerge in that moment was the human spirit, that just the essence of who we all are without all of that. And Mum continued to be that for the whole duration, for the whole 14 months, in really what was a backdrop of brain cancer. Obviously there was some really challenging times and frequent. But it was almost like a backdrop. What was really, I guess, what gets left at the end of it was this just incredible acceptance, and just giving whatever you could to anyone in the best way possible. So still being someone of service. And I just delighted in going into radiotherapy with mum. She just lighted up the room, even though she was going through exactly the same thing as the other people that were dealing with the same illness. And it was just, yeah, it was my most treasured 14 months with mum, and everything that it taught me. But the value of what it has the ability to offer to the readers, that perhaps there's some gifts in this that I haven't quite allowed myself to notice yet. And to me, that's key.
Because the story also focuses on your mom transitioning and you yourself being a nurse. Do you believe that when the time comes to pass away, people intuitively know within them?
Yes, definitely, definitely. Being in the palliative care space, and I see people in their homes, and we help them in that palliative care stage. There's this sacred space that just seems to evolve, and you know that you're on sacred time. And mum knew she was going. And obviously there's the physical signs that you're aware that time's getting closer. But she knew, and it was like in the last couple of months, she spent one of those months just pouring into her children, just letting them know, letting us know just how much she loved us. She wanted to make sure we were all okay. And there were some beautiful conversations that were had in that time. And in the final month, there were some incredible conversations, pouring into the grandchildren, and some beautiful moments, that just forever etched in my mind, my heart and my soul, just pouring into them. And it was done with such joy. And again, that's those final legacies. And, any cancer's challenging. Certainly brain cancer wasn't a walk in the park at all. And those last few months were really challenging. But to see what she mustered together to just really pour into us was just incredible. And can I share with you one beautiful moment?
Of
That I'm thinking,
course.
I can remember when she was lying in the hospital bed. We had it set up in her lounge room. And by this stage, she had a lot of pain, and she was having some seizures that we were giving her the medication for. And at that stage, relatives were coming and to-ing and fro-ing and helping us out. And I sat down with my husband, and I was just sort of sitting opposite mum. I got back up and I said, "Oh, mum, is there anything else that I can do? Meaning, do you need some more pain medication? Do you want me to move your position? Do you need to get more comfortable?" And she just looked at me and she said, "Go out and just make people as happy as what you're making me now." And I'm like, how do you muster that when you're in the situation that you're in and you're dealing with everything that you're dealing with? There was just this, those words just stick with me. And even when I'm struggling, figuring out what I'm doing in life, it's just always that it's very centering, and that's what she wanted me to do. And so there's just those beautiful key moments of just that pouring in. And I'm just very blessed because not everybody gets the stage, I guess, of palliative care that you have time to process and accept and have these moments with people. Some people lose people, they go to work one day and they never come home. So there's lots of different situations. So I'm very aware of the blessing it was to have that time with mum that not everybody gets.
Because of your personal and your professional experience, you must understand how fragile life is. What advice would you have for people listening so they're living their best life?
I'm drawn to, we all have, so many events that happen to us in life, and none of them are actually guaranteed. We may or may not ever get married. We may or may not ever find a life partner. We may or may not travel overseas. We may or may not do lots of different things in our life. But there's one thing that's absolutely guaranteed, is that we're all going to die. And I find it unusual that we spend so much time preparing for so many different things. We prepare that we're going to have a new baby. We prepare that for a wedding. We prepare for going overseas. But we still in the Western world have a a conceived notion about our own mortality that other cultures have just mastered so beautifully, and they accept it as part of living and have a lot of rituals and have a lot of community engagement in that whole process. Whereas we still, it's almost like this thing that kind of gets a little bit swept under the carpet. So I would want people to not to be sad about it, but or to be spending time and being sad about it. But if I was to die tomorrow, what would have I wanted to happen? How would have I wanted to prepare? How would have I wanted to be more connected with the people around me? What would I want them to know about me that I haven't expressed yet? What are those things that if I was truthful, what would have I wanted to experience in this life? If, I knew that my number was up soon. So preparing for it in a way that's one on the practical side, but two, as an influence over and a motivator, if you like, to do those things in life, have those conversations with people. I've found it personally something that has really shown me at the end of the day, it's human connection that matters the most. And it really is a short time that we're here. So, and certainly for me turning 50, you realize that your life is just a series of chapters and, you get to write what the next chapter looks like. So I find it's actually quite a useful tool, a useful thing to do to actually you don't have to spend a whole lot of time and be sad about it, but just spend some intentional time thinking about what it actually would mean if you knew that you were going to go, what would you like, or what would it be like to be in life and start working towards.
And finally, one of the themes that you bring to the book is vulnerability. So how have you been able to bring that vulnerability every time you sit down and write? For some people, it could be very overwhelming. For other people, it's very easy to tap into it.
If I don't go to the vulnerability of the story, then it wouldn't touch the hearts of the people that are reading it. And there are enough textbooks around that itemize what grief is like, what the stages of death and dying are, but we need more lived experience stories so that people that are going through it, that it helps to validate their own experience, that they can recognize themselves in the words on the page, and for them to realize that, wow, someone's writing about me. This might help me navigate this situation that I'm in. And there were so many vulnerable moments for Mum, and to see how she dealt with it it was in that vulnerability that she allowed us to come in and help her. And so on a practical level, in terms of writing, the way that I've been dealing with getting that vulnerability down, because I don't know if you've ever had that experience when you just sit down and you start to write and it's a little bit dry. There's not the emotion in it. There's not that vulnerability. So I found it comes out more when I'm walking. So I then when I'm I'll often go for long walks and I'll start to record on my phone what's coming through. So I might be retelling a story about the time, but I'm able to then to go more deeply into that particular story and the vulnerabilities of it. And so then I've actually got it on record, and then I can translate that to then go and sit down and write. So I don't actually, it's more real and raw then. Does that make sense?
Yes. And finally, you're welcome to share what projects you're working on and how people can support your work.
Oh, great. Thank you. So this is probably the getting Mum's book, My Mother, My Rock, Spiritual Perspectives on Death and Dying, getting this book out there and really starting to open up the conversation in a safe way and a very practical way around the subject of death and dying, and having a platform that allows people to share their experiences and perhaps reframing what it means typically to, I guess, the Western world. So that's something that I am hoping that the book allows my coaching journey to start to go into, and obviously on the background of my nursing experience as well. And but of course I have my coaching practice as well, which I'd love. People at all different stages of life, and helping them navigate the next important thing for them for their next chapters.
Thank you, Marion, for sharing a part of your life. That was a very informative and inspirational way for us to look at not only life, but how to celebrate life. And I thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thank you very much, Sasha, for having me. And certainly, I'm really hoping that there's someone out there or people out there that are listening that something, a piece of work like this will really resonate and really assist them with however their journey's going. And that's my main goal.
Thank you.